Good morning, guys. So we are live for our Saturday morning date.
From Oklahoma. Hugo, Oklahoma.
This is our Saturday morning date. We actually already did our walk. And we hadn't done a morning date in a while.
Yeah.
It had been like probably 5 or 6 days because we've been traveling and it was cold as like nobody's business in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So we didn't walk in Indy, and then the travel kind of throws our morning dates off. And so we wanted to make sure to come, you know, one of our goals is we used to do this every Saturday for like almost a year, and then we took a break. And then we want to come back and get back into that rhythm of doing them. A few people in Indianapolis at CleanCon told us, man, I don't watch much on social media, but I always try to make your Saturday morning dates.
Yeah.
Because it's like real talk, and they're not edited. And we just answer your questions here, and we kind of just give you a recap of kind of like our week and what are some of the things we've been talking about in life.
Or dealing with. Yeah.
What are some of the things we're dealing with? Renovation. like what are some of the things we're experiencing in life, like with kids and renovation.
I'll be honest, the hardest thing right now in dealing with life is for those that travel so much, and we know that there's a lot of people out there that they do a lot of conferences, there's a lot of movement back and forth and hustle and travel and stuff, but it's the hardest part is like keeping that routine.
Yeah.
And my God, when the weather is cold, it's super hard, and I get it for those people that live in like Michigan or other places.
Yeah, so I can keep my routine when I travel pretty well, but when I travel and it's cold, just forget it. We eat consistently, but it's the working out and the outside walks.
Yeah,
and makes you want to retreat into the hibernation. And for the love of God, I'm hungry all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I will say my saving grace, especially with the colder weather, is number one is, well, coffee always, but number one is having, for me, it's hard-boiled eggs. They're my savior. Having, even like the prepackaged, even though there's like, you know, citrus or whatever in it, but having those hard-boiled eggs there at the ready.
You can get them anywhere.
You can get them anywhere.
In a gas station.
And my breakfast is usually, four eggs and side of bacon, but the hard-boiled eggs are huge to just fill up and to keep satiated, to keep
especially on the go.
Yeah, on the go. And this second thing for me is I cheat, and when I'm on the road, when you talk about, you know, staying exercising and stuff like that, is I mean, I do it, although it's in like the room and whatnot, but I do calisthenics. So whenever I go to the bathroom and stuff, I'm literally like, I'm just kind of trying to like, you know, work my body out.
Yeah.
as much as I can. It sounds dumb, but anything that I can do, any pocket of time, doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to be structured, just to keep myself in that rhythm, at least so it's momentum.
Absolutely. And again, I see quite a few people on here, and if you have questions, drop them in the chat, if you just want to say hey. But, you know, traveling, God, it can throw you off.
Yeah.
Even vacations, they're supposed to be like, they can throw you off from your exercise routine, from how you eat. And we just drove from Fort Myers to Hiawassee, Georgia, where we have a house in Hiawassee, Georgia. And then I thought it was going to be a grand idea to go to the house for a weekend. And then from there, go up to Indianapolis for a conference. Well, we got to our house, and the cleaning company, gosh darn cleaning companies, had told us the washing machine was leaking. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to be up there in a week, so just like, no worries. Well, they left it leaking. Like, they left the leak leaking for a week. It leaked. And then they left the shower dripping, which the drip was splashing out onto the floor. So that was our weekend in our house in Georgia. It's like, gosh darn cleaning companies. It's always their fault. That was our house in Georgia. And so we spent the weekend drying out stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta take it off of Airbnb and remove it.
Have the fan running to kind of air out one of the closets down there.
Yeah. And so, no, the washing machine didn't break. And the cleaning company's like, you should, if you order a new washing machine, I'll have my husband pick it up, or we'll pick it up, or I have a handyman, I'll pick it up, or something. No, someone took the hose off the back of the washing machine in our Airbnb. And when they put the cold water back on the washing machine, they put it on crooked and stripped the back.
Yeah. And the reason why we know is because it was crooked when it was fixed back on.
It was just leaking. And then So we spent our days there, but then the snowstorm, that massive storm that was across the U.S. And I looked at Chris and I said, oh my God, if we don't leave right now, we're not going to make it to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
We're going to get caught behind it.
Because the storm was coming from kind of like the north. It was going northeast. And so for us, we were down here. So we actually had to get to Indianapolis before the storm actually hit there. So we had less time to get there.
Yeah. So we were like racing behind the storm.
Yeah.
We got caught in tornadoes somewhere in Lexington, like Lexington, Kentucky-ish area.
Yeah.
With sirens. Yaya experienced her first tornado siren.
Two o'clock in the morning.
Take shelter at 2 o'clock in the morning at a hotel.
Yeah.
And then we finally made it to Indianapolis before it got like 10 degrees. The day before, we were in Georgia in shorts and a t-shirt working.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 24 hours, it went to like 10 degrees.
It was a 60-degree swing in a matter of a day and a half.
Yeah. And so now then from Indy, we drove here when Hugo, we're in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 90 degrees.
And so by the way, we planned right. So when we left Southwest Florida, which by the way was about 80 degrees when we left. But we left and we planned and packed, okay, it's going to be freezing. So we got to make sure we're prepared. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to bring one pair of shorts. And I'm going to bring two pairs of pants because, you know, be able to kind of like shuffle around and whatever. And we got a bunch of sweaters and another layer. And so coming into Indianapolis, it was freezing, but at the same time we were okay. And we made it through and we planned right. Headed over to Oklahoma and the weather, the temperature changed again. Again, that 60 degree upswing. It's going to be 88 degrees today and we only have one pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So
I'm okay.
I only have one pair of shorts.
Yeah.
So I planned right coming into the cold, but I planned wrong coming out of the cold.
Yeah.
So that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, side note is through all this, and through the event in Indianapolis, we also brought along Yaya. And this is where I love it the most because where my head was at, and coming to this conference, and I think we've had a debate before, is like, you know, what do we spend our time on? And is the time, you know, what are we doing? Is it time that we own, or it's in our domain? It's kind of something that we control with our time and doing it to our benefit. Not saying that it's not a benefit, but I'm saying like,
what do we
using the most out of your time, what do we want out of it? And what I took away before we went there was that what I want out of this conference is I want Yaya to come. For those that don't know, Yaya is our 7-year-old, soon to be 8-year-old. But I wanted Yaya to come because I wanted to lean in. She just finished her Girl Scout cookie season. She hit her goal. It was 500 cookies. We nailed it in like the first few weeks. Last year was like 2,000, 2,500 cookies.
She sold 2,500.
Yeah, 2,500 last year. But we scaled it back because I wanted to spend the other time focusing on her business, her as an entrepreneur. Coming in, I said, my goal for this conference is, the byproduct is us being able to sell our own products. But I wanted her to focus on the kids book. I wanted her to focus on engagement and engaging as an entrepreneur. I wanted her to really get as much out of this conference as possible and get her talking to people. Goodness. Now I gotta appreciate, you know, the conference for what-
Tools, by the way.
Yeah.
So he was so focused on Yaya and getting her to like help her reach her goal. And he didn't help her. He just kept her on track that I ended up working the booth. So I was at the booth the whole time. So I didn't really interact with Yaya, like what Yaya was doing.
Yeah.
We still have a business. We still had a thing, the reason why we went to the conference. But she was the talk of the town. And I actually told Chris when they were done, I was like, you kind of broke all the rules. There was no hard selling. You couldn't sell outside of your booth.
Yeah.
Yaya was like, mingling, connecting, asking people if they wanted to buy her book. Like she'd just walk up and ask complete strangers.
Yeah. And I got to say that they had a little meetup or something the night before the first event. And they had like a little bingo challenge thing where you had to go and that was kind of like mingling and engaging. So Yaya, I had one for me because, you know, business, working in the business. And so I was like, you know what? Here, Yaya, why don't you go ahead and you'll work through this. And so as people come up with the bingo, it's like certain things, you know, have you been in business under 2 years, this and that. And you're able to kind of put your signature on and you complete the bingo card.
It was actually really fun.
It was really fun.
I didn't play, but I enjoyed participating.
Yeah. So I handed it over to Yaya and I was actually, you know, I kind of redirected the conversations over to Yaya. I'm like, look, she can answer these questions for you. And so she ended up meeting, I think, literally at least 50 people she had spoken to. And she had finished her bingo card. She was so excited. She ran to she was jumping and screaming and hooting and hollering. She turned it in. And then she's like, okay, what's next? And then I was like, maybe, you know, you can help other people and out with filling out theirs. She's like, oh, yeah. And so she went and ran around and started to talk to more people and asked them and said, hi, how can I help you fill out your, can I help you fill out your bingo card? And they would hand it over to her. She really had it down because she had like two or three different things that she could fill out on a business bingo card, which was really exciting to see.
Like
she's been in business.
Under 2 years.
Yep. And a few other things. And so it was really exciting to see her engage. And then she would carry on a conversation with the people. So she wouldn't just sign it and run away. She signed it and, you know, they, of course, started conversations, chatting. She explained that she was going to be at her booth and then talked all about the kids' book. So she really, really leaned into, I guess, talking and collaborating.
And here's the thing. Most of the people that follow me own a business, right? Because we own businesses. We talk about business all the time. But one of the things that for me and Chris, like, has recently become more of a forefront is we do this thing we call business, mm-hmm. right? Which is a pain in our ass most of the time.
Yeah.
And it takes over our life most of the time. But we say we do it for our kids and we say we do it for our family, right? And we say we do it for purpose freedom and time freedom, money freedom. And it just becomes like a control thing. Like it kind of consumes your life and it consumes your business. And if we are in reality doing it for our kids or for our family, you need to involve your kids.
Yeah.
Because they don't, like, the money isn't going to help them. Here's the reality of owning a business. If you own a business and it runs itself, you're going to open another one and another one. Like, we got six right now. You know, if you're a true entrepreneur, you're going to constantly, you know, chase shiny objects. You're not just going to lay on a beach chair drinking margaritas for the next 6 years. Maybe you will do it for 6 days, but not 6 years. And so you need to involve your kids because the skills you teach them when you last so much longer than the money, like the money that you're trying to leave them or you want to leave them. Bring your kids, show your kids. In our companies, especially, you know, our software companies and even the people that work in our cleaning company that are remote, like our salespeople or our ops manager, like it, somewhere along the line, it was kind of like taboo that your kid was in the background or like mute yourself if you're on Zoom and your kid is crying. No, like I always tell all of our employees and our staff, no, I want to see your kids. Like, this is life. Let them listen to our conversation and let them learn and, you know, engage. We don't have to hide our children from our business. And I think somewhere along the lines, it was looked at as being unprofessional.
Yeah.
If you brought your kids with you somewhere or to a conference. Some of the biggest people I follow take their children everywhere. I'm talking big names. You see them take their kids everywhere. You see them engage their kids, make their kids part of their business and like the lessons in their social media posts and everything. And you see that through some really big names when you see those uber big influencers out there. And in reality, if you are doing it for your family, for your kids, for your husband, for your wife, include them.
Yeah.
Because that's, you're lying to yourself if you're not.
Yeah. And I'll just give you an example is before we started this, our date morning, our live, and that we do this all the time with Yaya and we talk about it before, it's all about priming. But what I did, and again, it wasn't like, don't bother us, don't be in the room, you gotta shut up and listen. I told her, I said, hey, heads up, we're gonna start our date morning, because she knows what the date morning is. We're gonna start a date morning live, and just wanna let you know so that, you don't try to come over and like behind the camera and start waving at us and saying, you know, trying to get our attention or asking us questions.
Just like sign language behind.
Yeah.
And then
she'd like show her phone.
Distracted and I'm like,
But what I, but what I just want to give this as an example. And we're not perfect, by the way. Just heads up. But
what? I am. Wait, because I'm always right. Oh, wait, I'm covering up my.
At least I can, yeah. But where was I getting at? It's not this, it's priming. It's not this perfect environment, perfect situation, but it's the agreement that you have between you and somebody else. And so for our kids, everything is around having that agreement on what needs, you know, what it is and what it isn't, and letting them decide from there. But the agreement is, you know, for her, it was just, all I ask is that you don't ask questions and you don't try to like hold the conversations while we're having the live, but you're free to walk around, run around, whatever. Rocco, he's a nutso, our little scrawny dog. He loves to run around and play with her and bark. Totally fine.
The bark.
A little bit crazy. But I had that agreement and I was like, look, we're going to be on. Just want to let you know ahead of time. And she's like, okay. So she's got her rhythm because we've primed her over, honestly, like over the last year and a half, especially through all these Zoom meetings, virtual meetings, we've primed her and included her in that experience of this is what work looks like for us.
I need to hire her to work my booth. She can hard sell.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm like, oh, I don't like it. I'm scared they're gonna say.
She's got a couple of job offers out there. Yeah.
Like I need to hire her for sales. I suck at sales. I don't know about you guys, but I'm that salesperson, especially in my cleaning company. I was that salesperson that people would call and be like, oh, don't worry, I wouldn't pay $200 either. Let me give you a discount.
Yeah.
How about we just do it for $100? Like I was that person that would literally offer a discount or like undersell it because like I was so scared of no, or I was so scared of rejection, or I didn't even value my own service, right? That was the beginning. I didn't even value my own service because I wasn't my customer.
Yeah.
I wasn't my customer. And so I would undervalue like the service. And so now like I would pay, I love my cleaning when they come clean my house. But it's funny because I inherently don't have that. I just don't. I've admitted it. I'm great at showing someone how to do something and teaching and explaining, but the selling, I'm no good. I see people out there and they're phenomenal. Yaya has it. She likes to door knock. She'll go door knock during cookie season.
Oh yeah.
She's not scared of rejection. We didn't have her door knock this year because a lot of craziness out there, like, you know, with some of the stuff we saw on social media about like going to the wrong house or someone pulling a, you know, what on you. I don't want to say it because I don't know if Facebook will ban me. But she's got the gene.
Yeah.
She's got the sales gene. I need you over here and do some selling for us.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, like include your kids in it.
Yeah, Austin used to work for us. He's our 17-year-old. He's a senior this year. He used to work for us, and then he said, hey, Mom. He quit. He quit his job with us. He said that he needed to go get a real job where he drove to a place and parked his car and got out of it and went in a building to work. That was a real job in his eyes. And I thought that was cute. And I said, oh, okay. Like, so now he works at McDonald's. And so he's recently asked if he could come back. He's like, hey, could I come back to my old job? And I was like, well, I don't really have anything for you right now. And I don't. And here's the one thing I don't do. I don't make up positions for my kids. We actually have them do something. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really have anything for you right now, but if something opens up, I'll let you know.
Yeah. But that's a good point though, is, and you know, for people who have kids, and I want to say mainly younger kids, cause it's a little bit harder to figure out. And I was really, really passionate about this topic. And I shared it as well in our, we have a chat for Girl Scouts, for her troop. And I shared what she was doing at the booths and everything. And I said, you know, one is a proud moment for me. So I'm just bragging a little bit on Yaya. But at the same time, cause she sold 100 books in one day.
I couldn't even do that.
So where I was getting at was that I shared a video of her, and some of you may have seen it, but her on stage talking in front of a room of what, 200 people?
200 people.
But confident as can be.
And I asked her before we went up there if she was nervous.
Right.
She's like, no.
And I take away this from this because Robert Kiyosaki said it best, and it was to use everything as intentional time. It was skill stacking. It was using your time effectively. No matter what it is, if you're at McDonald's and you're literally punching buttons and stuff, find a way to use it to your advantage to stack new skills onto it, or practice new skills. And so for her, for the Girl Scout season, it was sharpening that the sales ability and understanding what a unique selling proposition was. But coming through for the Girl Scouts, and what I said and then what I shared was that I wanted to give a shout out because she sold 100 books in one day, and she jumped up on stage, and the idea was to sell the rest of her books.
Girl Scout?
I did.
Oh, I'm not in there.
Yeah. But I said what I wanted to share this for was, one, to brag on her, but secondly, is for everybody to take away, because the troop and Girl Scouts in general, typically there's girls in there anywhere from, I want to say, like as young as like 5 or 6 years old to, honestly, I think they age out at around 16 or what, around graduation. Around graduation. But what I wanted to take away was that it doesn't matter the age that your child is at, and to kind of break away from that idea of the norm that you got to wait until you're 16 to have a car and have a job. I said, no, the skills that you learn inside of Girl Scouts, what this is teeing up for is actually a springboard for what they can take into their life tomorrow. I said, it's not something that you have to wait for. And just to figure out what they're passionate about and to just lean into it and let them run with it. And that's what I wanted to at least share. And I'm really passionate about that because I don't like the idea of having to wait to do something just because everybody else does it that way. And I tell Yaya every single day, at least once a day, I tell her there's an elegant solution to every problem. And I take this into the Girl Scouts as well, is like, now she knows it and understands it. And it's like, okay, well, let's figure out how to make this happen. And now her brain has that little unlock. It's small right now, but later it's going to start to snowball into something bigger. And I want her to understand that the world is limitless.
It is, which is kind of cool. Chris also taught Yaya what the unique selling proposition means.
Yeah.
And so, like, most business owners don't even know what their unique selling proposition is. And, you know, the way we manage the kids is interesting. So I don't really have anything to do with the Yaya. And, well, I have not Yaya, but I don't have anything to do with the Girl Scouts or any of her extracurricular stuff, because I take the older kid. So we have a 27-year-old, right? He's independent. And then we have a 17-year-old. So I'm responsible for the 17-year-old. So I'm doing things like graduation, cap and gowns,
yeah,
like planning the graduation party or dinner. And then Chris does everything with Yaya.
I'm playing soccer mom.
He's playing soccer mom. So we kind of split up the responsibilities, and it makes it easier on the both of us. So not one of us is doing all of it, and then the other one doesn't know what's going on. And so it was funny because, you know, she was selling Girl Scouts with cookies with Chris, and they had their last booth to sell out, and she had one kind of cookie left.
Yeah.
One kind of cookie, and it wasn't really selling. And she needed to sell them to sell out.
I think it was the Do-Si-Dos.
It's funny because Chris came back and said she sold them all. I told her, you know, what's the unique selling proposition of this cookie? And I was like, what?
And so I did. And she had the booth, and she had probably, so two cases of cookies is about 24, so let's just say 30 boxes.
Of one kind of cookie.
And it was the Do-Si-Dos. And so they're chocolate, and they got chocolate crisps, and they have a little bit of peanut butter inside. But basically, I kind of talked to her and I said, okay, this is the right time to talk about it. I was like, you got to figure out, if you ever have trouble getting rid of something, selling something, like for cookies, for example, and I said, you got to figure out what the unique selling proposition is. And so I said, she's like, what is that? And so I explained to her, and I said, it's the thing that makes your product or what you're selling special. It's what people anchor it to. It's what they want. And I said, so you just got to figure out what that is, and then you can sell more of them. So I said, take this for example. I said, we have a ton of Do-Si-Dos, right? And I said, you know, what's special about these? What's unique about these? And then she was like, I don't know. And so I kind of talked her through it, and I said, well, you like Reese's, right? And she's like, yeah. She like totally understood it. And I said, well, don't these taste like Reese's peanut butter cups? And she's like, oh my gosh, they do. And so from there, it clicked. And it's like, wait a second. And I said, whenever you think of Reese's, don't people love these? Like, whenever you think about Reese's, and she's like, yeah, Mom loves them. Like, they're her favorite.
They used to be my favorite. Yeah. I used to eat Reese's peanut butter cups and coffee every morning for breakfast. I mean, I don't anymore.
It was the breakfast.
It was my breakfast.
Simpler times.
Yeah.
And so then she's like, oh my gosh, yeah. So I said, tell you what, why don't you go ahead and do this? Is instead of saying for the pitch, it wasn't you're standing in front of the booth and asking people as they come out of, we have Publix, so the shopping, the grocery store, of would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah.
Instead of using that staple, which was more of a generic spread marketing, I said, why don't we go ahead and narrow it down and target it and really talk about it? And I forgot, oh my gosh, I think I said, like, would you like to buy some Do-Si-Dos? They taste like Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, she told me she was asking people if they like Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
Before she was asking them to buy cookies.
Yeah.
Because she goes, the majority of the people said yes, they love Reese's peanut butter cups. And then she's like, well, here, I have some cookies that taste just like it.
Yeah. And so that was the thing, is that all of a sudden she flipped her messaging. She changed what she was talking about to a new market, same people, different segment in the market.
Yeah.
And, you know, as people were walking by before, it was like, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies? Oh, no, thank you. It was just generic, staple, whatever. Especially because the easiest way to sell Girl Scout cookies was you literally plop the green box, which is Thin Mints, on the table, or the purple box, the Samoas, yeah. And they sell themselves.
And when I was young, I ate so many Samoans that it made me sick. I think I ate the whole box.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have, so it's so funny, side comment. So many people tell me, because I don't do carbs and sugar, right? And so many people, they're like, oh my God, Libby, like, you've lost so much weight. And I'm like, well, you know, it's pretty simple. Cut the carbs and sugar. Oh, I can't do that. I love sweets. I love pasta. I love bread.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, duh. So do I. So do I. But that's a side note, because, you know, it's not what you like to do. It's what you have to do, what you need to do. Sorry. Go on with the whole message.
Yeah. No, but, you know, it's easier to sell green and purple boxes when you talk about Girl Scouts, like behind the scenes.
Purple boxes and Samoans.
Yeah. Because people see green and instantly they're like, ooh, Girl Scout cookies. And so we had a bunch of these red boxes all spread out. Literally, it was the entire table. But as soon as she started to flip that messaging and ask them about if they liked Reese's peanut butter cups, all of a sudden you saw their eyes shift over and say, they paused for a second. And then I'd have her kind of like, you know, she'd either have a box in her hand or she'd kind of like lead the conversation over to the table a little bit. And so they kind of have to follow her a little bit. But it was that messaging, that marketing that she shifted, and she ended up selling them all almost as quickly as she would have sold the Thin Mints or the Samoas. And then she, yeah.
It's a great lesson, especially for your businesses. Like, if you're asking the same question that every other business is asking, right? Oh, like, do you want your house clean? Or, you know, do you need a handyman? Or do you want me to clean your windows? You could say, you know, what's the other side of that?
Yeah.
Do you love looking out your window and, like, having a beautiful view? Yes, I do. Like, I'm looking at our windows right now. That's why. And they're so dirty from like the contractor dust and they're so dirty. And I'm like, I would love to be able to look out that window and just have a beautiful, like,
yeah,
just at least be able to see through the window. So yeah, you know, leading it with those leading questions about what can they relate this to versus just pushing the service or the product.
Yeah. So that's for her. It's really what it is now is any opportunity that we have to include her in the experience of honestly just life, talking to people,
yeah,
business is life.
You might think we only do this with Yaya because that's what most of you guys see, but we don't. My 27-year-old works with us. He has worked for us for a long time, and he was resistant. For a long time, he was resistant, and I knew he could do it. I saw this in him. He did. He worked for a cleaning company for years, doing floors.
A commercial cleaning.
Commercial cleaning at night. stripping and waxing floors. And he did it for 2 or 3 years. And it really took a toll on his mental health because he worked at night.
Yeah.
And so he was up all night. And then he just said, "Mom, I got to quit this job because it's, you know, it's taking a toll. I can't sleep during the day, so I'm not getting any sleep. And then I'm up all night." And I asked him, I was like, and I kept trying to get him to come kind of work for us. And he did help us clean somewhat.
Yeah.
And organize it. He's helped us do like empty houses, vacation rentals, all kinds of stuff. Off and on, not really consistently. But he had this like sparkly artistic side to him.
Yeah.
And we brought him in. Well, God, he's probably been with Organize It like 3 years mm-hmm. now. Like 3 years. And he runs our social media.
Yeah.
Us and a couple other companies. And he's phenomenal at it. He found a passion. He fell in love with it. It's just that and then Austin did the same thing. Austin helped us inside of one of the software companies. And that's when he quit and got a real job, he said. Now yeah. He wants to come back.
He had to experience it for himself. Yeah.
Oh, no, I let him. And I think Yaya is just the one that's a little bit more, maybe because she's a little bit younger than the boys right now. That's why you see her a little bit more.
Yeah.
But we've done this with all three of our kids.
Oh, yeah.
We wrote it with him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you started, you weren't an entrepreneur.
Oh, no.
And I was kind of dragging him along mm-hmm. slowly. And then if you own the business and your spouse is with you, everyone has a superpower, from your children to your husband to your wife. And it's like you see things in them and you're like, oh, he would be really good at this. I want to see like if he's interested.
Yeah.
Like the whole vibe coding, what you're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Chris is an engineer, has an engineering background, an audio engineering background. Mm-hmm. And I knew he would, if I could get him to do this,
yeah,
he would fall in love with it and he would be phenomenal at it. He has all of the like things that are needed for this.
Yeah. It's all about workflow architecture.
Perfect time.
It was a big jump. It was a big gap to leap.
And he made the leap, but you know, wow. Like just to sit here and watch him grow has been phenomenal. Watch Yaya grow. Watch your own kids and, you know, your team, of course, as well. But mm-hmm. it's one of those things where if you're a true business owner, like that entrepreneur, that sparkly brain, that one that can't stop, to me, you can see things in other people. You can see what your business needs and what business skills are needed. And then you start to notice those skills if you really look and the people around.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
Yeah. I'm going to get into a little more of a deeper topic here on that subject. If you have a spouse or somebody else who's not currently in the business with you, my message is that I don't let anybody tell you that they shouldn't be involved in some way. The reason why I'm so passionate about this is because your business is your life. And if you choose not to involve your spouse, your kids, or whatever, then essentially what you're saying is that this large section of my life, you're not allowed in. And if your business currently takes up 80% of your life, and that's 80% that you're excluding the people that you love from that. And so I don't know about you, but for me, I don't want to live with that thought in my mind of saying that I'm only allowing you to be a part of 20% of my...
And by the time you get home, that 20% is exhausted. That 20% of you that's left, exhausted, tired, burnt out, overweight. Like, and then... You know, because we went through that where you had your own career and I had the other companies And we were like two strangers. I mean, who's been there? And you don't have to say it out loud because it's not an uncomfortable
right.
thing, but just think to yourself, have you ever felt like you were just going through the motions? Like you were living with a stranger? When you go to bed, you just kind of like sleep on separate sides and you don't want to look at each other.
Yeah.
I've been there right. many times with Chris and with my, you know, yeah. in my prior relationship. And, you know, the reason Chris is bringing this up is he heard recently about like someone telling a business owner, don't bring a spouse in, don't bring your family in, don't bring a partner in. And I understand where that's coming from, but that's probably coming from someone who maybe doesn't have the maturity level to work with their spouse.
It's hard.
It's not easy. The first time I did it, it was horrible. I failed. But we were both immature and we weren't willing to learn or to listen or to grow or to even listen to this word, compromise. Everyone thinks compromise is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad word. That's marriage, right? I can't always get what I want.
Yeah.
Compromise. Chris can't always get what he wants.
No.
It's compromise. He's wrong all the time and I'm always right.
Again, flip your camera if it's backwards.
and so when you have to reach a maturity level, but it's a beautiful thing when you can work with your spouse because then it's the integrated life.
Yeah.
Right? It's the integrated life. And that's kind of the goal that you're going for. And if as an entrepreneur, you know, you're building that legacy, right? That empire, that dynasty, whatever you want to call it. You can't build it by yourself. You can't. And if you can bring in like a child, a spouse, right? My mom works for us in one of the cleaning companies. You get this person that you can trust, but you have to be willing to have difficult conversations with them too, right? And they have to be willing to hear it. And you have to have those terms about, hey, you know, I'm going to treat you probably harder than one of the employees because you're related to me.
Yeah.
But having those upfront things. But here's the one thing I do want to tell you guys that you need if you're going to do this. Even more if you're going to bring in family or spouse. You need roles, right? You need KPIs attached to those roles and you need systems, right? You need systems because you need to give them something to say, here's your role.
Yeah.
Here's your job. Here's what is expected of you. That makes it 100 times easier versus bringing Chris in and he's like, what should I do? I don't know. Find something to do. Make up your role. Like, then it's a disaster. And if you don't have roles defined or systems, come to my life
and
in April.
Clear boundaries.
We're going to work on creating roles and systems. But it can be amazing. And then you have two people that are putting in, like, there are some weeks me and Chris put in 80 hours each, still to this day, because we're building stuff. But I don't expect more money. He doesn't expect more money. You get more done. Sometimes she's working on the weekends because she's committed, right? There's a different level of commitment. Same thing with my 27-year-old. He'll do extra things. He'll go out and learn. He'll be like, hey, I was researching this, but I'm not sure if you want me to start adding this to some of our posts. He'll go out and do things or learn that typically, you know, you don't get from most, you know, the average employee. And that's okay because they're an employee, right? They have their own life and their own priorities. But when you start to include family and you have those clear boundaries and those roles defined, man, you can move so fast, so fast.
So I want to flip this real quick. And there's a question that I heard quite a few times and mainly from the wives or the mothers. And it was a question of, but Chris, my husband doesn't care. Like, my husband hasn't shown any interest. How do I get them to start that, showing that interest in whatever it is that I'm doing?
That's a good question.
It is. And you know, I thought about it for a while and I kind of explained the only way that I could really break through that question was to actually answer it from where I started. And I'll share more of this later as well in our event, especially because I want to make sure that I dive deep because I don't think we have enough time for it right here, right now. But what it came down to was me talking through it is I'm going to use One Layer Deep as an example because there's a specific practice, a specific One Layer Deep, which is alignment, intention, execution. And we use this practice in everything, mainly in personal. And when we talk about business, it's align, delete, execute. This is more tactical. But in the personal life, in the personal realm, it's alignment, intention, execution. But there's actually but there's another one just above alignment, which Libby had defined as awareness. And what I take away from this is when I had the question asked of, but how do I get my husband or my spouse, at least to the point to even caring about the business? I go back to what I've experienced with Yaya, and I go back to experiencing what I experienced with myself, is that I was not really resistant, but I didn't know where to start or didn't know that I needed to care in the business, because when Libby was doing it, it was organize it, and she had this shuffle of doing things her own, and at the time
we had just launched Woot Recruit too, I think.
Just Woot Recruit. But at the time you were kind of doing your own thing and I was doing my thing, and it didn't really click. It wasn't really there. There wasn't this.
And I think, Chris, when you said I didn't know I was supposed to care, and no disrespect to my men out there, but I think men sometimes are very simple human beings. Like in like thought process.
Right.
Because they are kind of simple in the way they think. It's not that they don't care. It's just that they didn't know they were supposed to care.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at here is, you know, keeping that in mind is awareness, alignment, intention, execution. The same thing applies to every personal relationship. Is if you want a starting point for them, if they don't know that they should care, if they don't know that they should be involved, or kind of like leaning into what you want in the future, what's important to you is, first is all about priming. I saw that with Yaya, and I saw that in myself looking back at it, is I had to start with priming. You couldn't just out the gate say something and expect somebody to understand it fully, because the words that you use are magical only to you. And so there's certain phrases that you use, a certain purpose and reason behind what's coming out of your mouth is only the way it is because of how you value those words. And so you have to first prime them and understanding the value behind those words, understanding certain reasons and things that are important. So priming is all about awareness. It's just letting them know that it's here. And what I mean by that is in relationships is priming in terms of what's important to you. What do you care about? What's concerning? What do you want out of life? As simple as it is just, can you stand next to me? Because I want you to be able to experience my world. I want you to experience me working. I just want you to smile and tell me that I love you. Wherever it is that I'm working, whatever it is that I'm doing, as simple as it is, just get them used to that piece right there. Get them used to just being aware of the situation, not being involved, but being aware of it.
Yeah. One of the ways I got Chris on board, to be honest with you guys, not on board, but how I got him to be more aligned with what we were doing and more aware, is I did a couples quarterly with him. So we all run our meetings, right? We all, and if you've ever done a business quarterly, you know how intense like a business quarterly is. You're reassessing like core values, you're reassessing goals and metrics, you're maybe doing a SWOT analysis of the business. You're also making new goals, and are the goals in line with like the long-term goal? And you're kind of reassessing in quarterlies, you know, what's the stance of the state of the business, and, or do we have the right people in the right seat and all that jazz. That's like an official real quarterly. And there's more that goes into it. That's just rundown. But I got my mom and I said, hey, I need you to watch Yaya. And then I booked a hotel room and I took Chris away for like 2 days. And I said, hey, we're going to run a couples quarterly. And we're gonna get aligned. I want, and the quarterly had nothing to do with the business. It was everything to do with our life. What are our values? What are your core values? What are my core values? Now let's make our family core values, and they have to kind of integrate.
Yeah.
What is the vision? What is your vision? What is my vision? And then we created a family vision. So it was a lot of self-work, but also how do these integrate together? Do they integrate together? So we did that. And then we looked at sabotaging. How do we keep sabotaging ourselves? And we're all self-sabotaging every single day, all the time. One of my self-sabotaging was I always say, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm waiting for the perfect moment. I'm not ready. And, you know, we had to work through self-sabotaging exercises. So, you know, he did his and I did mine and then we shared. And this was two straight days of us just working through these things and then knowing, like, what do we want? What do we want?
And so I want to share something here. And because I messed up big time, but because we had the space to basically kind of like push against what we were saying to each other in a safe space, I wrote down my vision, my mission personally on what I wanted to accomplish, but I overinflated it and it actually wasn't my vision. I put some bullshit down of like, I want to own a company and have written a book and all this stuff.
I remember that. And I looked at him, I was like, oh, okay.
But no, but I want to take this away because I learned and it was really hard. And honestly, I ended up breaking down crying a lot of times. But I broke down because there was something that was fighting inside of me. And this is what, again, this is the very first Couples Quarterly is always going to be the hardest, but it has to be. And this goes aligned with, I think what we ended up doing was it was a forcing function with the Couples Quarterly, was that we forced ourselves through very quickly through the stages of awareness, alignment, intention, and execution. It was a really rapid change. But coming through that, I had to be real with myself and I had to break down the things that I thought I should do as my vision, as my mission. And I had to boil it down and be okay with what I actually wanted. And as a man, it's extremely hard to come to that realization, to come to that thing, that forefront.
Yeah.
To say that I just want to be happy doing, just supporting. I just want to be happy supporting what you do and having fun doing it in a very, very basic level. Because it wasn't like I'm going to be a bajillionaire or nothing like that. It wasn't anything that was so over the top elaborate. It was very basic and kind of mundane. But that was my mission. That was my vision, is just to be, honestly, to love what I do and to love who I'm around. That's my mission.
Yeah. And I think for men, it's hard because it's not easy when you're like your wife or your partner or spouse owns the business or is running the business or is the primary supporter. It's a blow to your ego. It's a blow to everybody's ego, but ego can get us in trouble. And so ego is one of those things where it's good to have a little bit, but it's not great to have a lot. Cause I think ego also keeps us going, right? Keeps us somewhat confident. but especially for Chris, he struggled with that at first because he wanted to open his own business. And Chris is an amazing entrepreneur. Like inside the company, he can build. He can build because he doesn't have to take like the big risk of like floating the payroll or like talking to the attorneys, or like the scary things that, you know, the entrepreneur.
Because like, that exhausts me to no end.
Yeah, he won't sleep. Like, but he thought that he was supposed to do the same thing as I was doing.
To keep up.
Yeah. And in reality, like he's doing amazing things that I could never do. And I think that's kind of where you get more power from, is you don't have to be doing the same thing in the company.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the other thing. If you ever think about going into business with your daughter, your spouse, your partner, your mom, your aunt, your uncle, there can only be one person.
At one time.
One. This whole like two double CEOs, like there can be two owners.
It's going to be great.
There can only be one man, like CEO, one manager, like per department or one. That was great. Me and Paul did a really good job at that. When we had Woot Recruit, we would reassess where we were at every quarter and say, oh, you know what? The company needs you in charge this quarter. And then I would step down and go over and work in marketing. And then like maybe the next quarter, Paul would be in charge, or I would be in charge and Paul would step back down and go into finance.
But it was a great arrangement because both of you were able to let your ego take the back seat so the other one could step forward.
You know, as far as working with your spouse, it can be a great thing. That's how I got Chris on board. You know, he has his own, like, the way you felt when you went through it.
Yeah.
The actual step I took was to do that couples quarterly and assess where we at are in our lives.
Yeah.
What do we want? Do our goals align? Because if he wants to open a business and I have a business, then that doesn't align. He might have to go do his own thing and then I stay over here. Like, and we needed to get on the same page, right? Also about, like, what do we want for the family? How much time, how many vacations do you want to take? How much time off do you want? When do you want to stop working every day? Like,
yeah.
And that's what you do during that couples quarterly. How many trips do we want to take as a husband and wife? Like, you lay everything out on the table. And then the other great thing that came out of that is the ability to call each other out. Like, when you do something, when you're not, you know, living through your values, call me out. When you see something, this is a, you know, I have a great friend, Dom. If I do something, Dom, you're like, Libby, that's low energy. Take that down.
I love.
That's low energy.
Dom, by the way,
I'm gonna
buy you a shirt. I know that, make sure that's in your style, but I'm gonna, low energy.
Low energy. And I said, Chris, I need that from you. Like, I need you to call me out when I do something, if I say something and it's not in line with our values, like, call me out. Call me out when I'm not operating from my inner scorecard, right?
Yeah. That's
when you're operating from your values. Call us out. And he does the same thing for me. Or call me out if I'm self-sabotaging.
Yeah. And so, again, there's not enough time to dive into this as deeply as I want to go, especially when it comes from the perspective of man in a relationship.
The perspective of man.
I know. And that, I say that in that way because the word man has so much stigma around it that I want to really lean into this, especially we have our couples quarterly that we said is going to be in December.
Oh yeah. So, you know, we're doing all these. So I have weekly lives online. I have monthly workshops online and then quarterly we're doing the in-person intensives, right? But we're also doing a couples intensive. And I originally put it in Oklahoma in December. And then the other day I said, Chris, I don't even want to go to Oklahoma in December. That doesn't sound fun. So we're going to switch it because no one signed up for it yet because it's in December. We're going to switch it and we're going to do it in Florida, in Fort Myers in December. And we're going to bring you into our actual home. I asked Chris, I'm like, would you mind if I brought the six couples that we're going to offer it to into our home? So you can literally see how I live a one layer deep life. How do we run our marriage? How do we house? Because here's the thing. It is all one thing. Your home has directly impact your business. Like, your marriage will directly impact your business. You cannot have chaos going on at home and chaos going on at work. It will defeat you.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. You cannot have chaos going on at home and run a great business. You take it with you back and forth. And so I want to show you guys that I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk.
Yeah.
And I want you to come in and open my kitchen drawers and, like, look in my closet.
Yeah.
And just see how do you run a simple life and a simple business and a simple marriage. And so we're going to flip that. We're not doing December in Oklahoma. Because that doesn't sound fun to even me. We're going to do it December in Fort Myers. And
yeah.
We're actually going to run it inside our house. We have a small house, but we have a lot of land. So we have an outside pavilion. We have a full-size basketball court where we could set up, like, you know, anyways. And
yeah.
Florida in December, everybody.
But it's Florida in December. It's limited to, and you said six couples.
Well, originally I put it at six because that's all I could hold in the building.
Right.
It's still all-inclusive and it, you know, like, everything will be paid for. But right now it's for six.
And it's intimate. It's meant to really break through and do some, I'll be fully transparent here, some hard stuff.
Yeah. So I'm going to run you guys through the exact quarterly, couples quarterly, the first one I did with Chris. I strategically planned it. And it will be fun.
Yes.
It will be transformational. It's,
yes.
Your spouse doesn't have to work with you to come to this.
Exactly.
It's all about, like, living together with an entrepreneur. Because your spouse also has to understand you.
Yeah.
Right? So it's living together as an entrepreneur, whether that person works in the business or doesn't. But if you truly want the integrated life, this is something that you need to work through. It's assessing, again, what are your values, Chris? What are my values?
Yeah.
What do family values, and they have to be in line with our values. It has to be a hybrid. It can't just be mine. It can't just be his. You know, what's our company vision? Like our company, our family vision. What do we want for Austin and Billy and Yaya? What do we want? How do we support them through the next 3 years so that this vision comes to life for our family?
Yeah.
And then after you do this couples quarterly, then you walk into your business quarterlies.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you know what you need from the business to make the life happen. Typically, we go do the business planning, and then there's nothing left for your family because the business will suck you dry. And
yeah.
Spit you out.
So it's very intentional. The reason why it's designed around December, because it's very intentional.
Yeah.
And it's because it's the perfect positioning that you started with December rolling in a few weeks before the actual business quarterly would typically take place. Or if you do like an annual planning or something like that.
Yeah, if you do your annual planning, if you do, you know, getting ready for 2027 goals, God, like,
yeah. And so
it's crazy that it's 2047. It's only like 3 years to 2030. And that's why I did it in December. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of heavy work, but it's a lot of transformational work. And you'll have so much clarity, right? And alignment. You're going to be rolling the boat in the same direction versus he's rolling it this way and you're rolling it this way.
And so I want to say there's another level of your relationship that we want you to unlock, and that is appreciation for what you have. It might not be a feeling of like, you know, more love or more whatever, the whole alignment and that,
more
and that
love
intention,
is a byproduct.
That's a byproduct, but it's appreciation for where you currently stand, regardless if it's perfect, regardless of if there's still a lot of really rough patches to figure out. But at the end of it, it's appreciation for where you stand and what you're aware of now.
Yeah. And I think a great lesson to take away from this is how many times of us have we been to like a business event and we write, they ask you to write down your goals, right? What's your dream? What's your goals? Sometimes we overinflate them because we want to keep up with the room, right? And maybe we don't want a $10 million company. Maybe I just want a $2 million company because I want a lifestyle or I want to open a nonprofit. And so I think one great thing about working through the couples, and you don't have to come to our event. I just told you everything we do in it. So
yeah.
You can practice like on your own. One of the great things that came out of it is like really realizing what do we want? Like what do I want? Because what if you write a $10 million business, but your husband doesn't want that? How is he going to support you in that? Like,
because I'll be straight up, like my vision ended up boiling down to the traditional housewife, the kind of taking care of the kids, just supporting you, helping you out. But I'm dead serious. Like it boiled down to that. And for me to actually like voice that and say, yes, this is actually what I want.
Yeah. Well, and also because Chris, we have young children. I got 7.
Yeah.
And so we actually needed someone in the family to do those things. And not that we needed, it was a great convenience to have someone in the family say, you know what? I just want to support the house right now, or I want to support Yaya right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go open a business now that I think about it. I don't
yeah.
want to write a book now that I think about it. And so it's a really great exercise because it'll give you some clarity on, and then maybe your spouse can read like, what do you really want? And they
yeah.
read it and they're like, oh crap, like there's misalignment here. How do we get realigned? Because to work together this close and to have this much energy and momentum and clarity doesn't just happen by accident. Right. It comes through talking and sharing and getting real.
Yeah.
And doing some of this hard work, or self work. Your kids will thank you for it. Your spouse will thank you for it. And again, like I said, you don't have to come to our event. Only 6 couples can. But you can practice this.
Yeah.
Everything you do in business, all that structure, the way the meeting ran, just flip it upside down and say, how can I integrate this into my family so I can have a little bit more consistency in my home life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How? And it's not hard to achieve. It just takes planning. It's organized, structured.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a great topic. I love this topic. You know, we're all about, and if you ever have questions, so you would be surprised at the number of people who reach out to us.
Yeah.
I actually have a lot of men that reach out to me about they're trying to get their wives on board. And Chris has a lot of women that reach out to her, mm-hmm. reach out to him about they're trying to get their husbands on board.
Just a side note here, And what we're working through is in, I guess, traditional or typical relationships, typically there's a little bit of friction when I'm talking to a girl, you're talking to a boy.
Oh no. Yeah.
No. And so that's some of that kind of like, it just kind of goes away. Like that worry goes away.
So if you're struggling or you just need some advice or like, you know, what's the first step I can take? You know, always DM us. We answer. You're going to get a voice message from me because I don't like to type. but reach out. We don't get anywhere in life without asking for help. Right? Reach out. We're always happy to help. And, you know, I think I'd like to say one of our specialties is, you know, how we've integrated our marriage and our children into this empire of a business that mm-hmm. we're building. Everything from software to cleaning to real estate.
And
oh, well, you think I would be stressed or like anxious or nervous or scared or no, like it doesn't really get to me anymore, but that doesn't mean it didn't used to.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you grow as a person and you mature as a person over time and you can handle more and more and more and more. But if you don't handle it, then you can't handle any of it.
Yeah. And so again, the takeaway here, I just want to just make this mention is that we're not trying to pretend to be perfect. We are far from perfect. But the takeaway here is that you can have the same thing too. It's not going to be perfect and you shouldn't expect it to be. And you don't have to worry about polishing it up to make it look perfect. But it all starts with awareness. And then you can work from there.
Yep. It's great. You know what? I'm going to end with this note. It doesn't have to be perfect. We're not perfect because you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Like, we're exactly where we're supposed to be. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. But here's the thing. We know what we're supposed to be doing. That's the difference. We know that there is a plan.
Yeah.
There's structure. And so it feels great. It feels right. It never feels like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be doing something and I don't know what I'm doing. Or you ever have those days where you just did a whole bunch of stuff, but it felt like you got nothing accomplished.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, but it was also strategic.
Yeah.
So we're not perfect.
Yeah. I want to leave on another note, and I don't know if it's a lighting, if it's just talking openly, sharing, but doesn't she look just so beautiful?
Oh, thank you. I don't even have a hat on. I've been wearing a hat when I was at the conference. So like sometimes I got to take a break from the hat.
Yeah.
I do have real hair. A lot of people ask me if my hair is under that hat is fake or if it's real. No, it's real. Yes. Thank you though.
Yeah.
It's the beautiful building. And I forgot, I haven't mentioned this. Our event, April 24th and 25th, is all about building your office systems, right? Your office, not necessarily your field technicians. We'll do that another time
mm-hmm.
because there's two types of systems you need in your business, your front office and your back office, right? Or you could call it front line and
back office,
right? So our front line is like technicians in the field. Then we have our office systems, right? That's going to be your sales, marketing, finance. Like at that intensive, we're going to be working on building your office.
And that intensive is for builders in your company.
Office, not your technicians in the field.
Right.
Yes. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to clarify that because it's a lot of work. But once you build it, baby, it's done. Like, you just give that model, say, let's open another location. Here's everything you're supposed to do.
Ready.
It's not that easy to open another location, but believe me, we screwed up the second one royally over and over. So, when we franchised, everything was done. So that made it so much easier. But yeah, so April 24 and 25, that's all about systems. And then we have our June 1, it's all about marketing and sales. We have our October 1, which is all about finance. Ooh, love finances, but hate them at the same time. And then our couples, again, will be in December.
Yeah.
So we're excited about those. And just, they're intimate, they're small. All the intensives are 50 people max. And then the couples is a 6-couple max. So we're, and they're all over the United States. They're not at the same, in the same location. So we're excited and yeah.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.